Hello and welcome to Consumers, the show where we rate things so you know what is good and what's not. We go with a rating scale similar to Consumer Reports, but we are in no way affiliated. We just want to make sure that you are getting into things that you know and understand subjectively what they are. I'm Jim Mullen, and here with me is Sam Newman.
Hi, guys.
And we're just gonna go through a few things here. And Sam, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, basically what we're gonna do is we each come with our own list of things here to rate. And while it's unlike Consumer Reports, we're doing the same grading scale, but we are not necessarily just rating products. We're rating ideas or things or people even, because we're not
Absolutely.
Against that. Not against that at all.
Definitely not against that.
So the first thing, I guess, and some of these are just going to be overarching themes, but my first thing is Apple products. And Jim, overall, what would you give Apple products?
I would give Apple products a solid B+.
Solid B+. Okay. I would give them A-. And my reasoning for that is generally when you look across the board at Apple products versus their competitors, they're going to be better. Yes, they're more expensive, but they're generally made better and perform better. Not all the time, but generally. I only take away the minus for the smugness. It's like driving a Prius here in Boulder, Colorado.
Absolutely.
We're taping the show from Boulder.
Smug warning.
That's the only thing. It's like we're better than you, but we just want to make you know that we're better than you, and we just want to remind you of it. So that's the only reason I put the minus.
I was kind of under the impression you were talking about actual Apple products, like Apple pies, Apple cider.
Sure.
And I would definitely give that a solid B+ because
okay.
there are a few rotten ones in the bunch.
But
but if you're gonna go ahead and talk about the technology, but like I really think when you say Apple, I think fruit. And maybe I'm a
so
fruit.
Little
for
miscommunication
that.
There to start it off.
So Sam, really stepping off here. But you know, that's the beauty of this life. You know,
yeah.
That there are lots of different meanings in the English language.
Would you stick
like
with
that.
The same rating if you knew what I actually meant?
I was gonna go straight into the D territory.
Straight to D. Explain yourself.
Because I think they're D bomb. Oh, that's a little fun joke. Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
No, I give them an A.
Okay.
I think they make a solid product. Absolutely. they make a real solid product. I mean, Steve Jobs. I don't know if you've ever read the book. I haven't. I'm not real into reading, but I know multiple people who have, and lots of people like to talk about things that they read. And I hear he's a big old asshole.
Kind of a dick.
So that kind of taints my A.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's like, it's still a good product.
Still a good product. You can't deny that.
You can't deny that. I just heard recently that Steve Jobs has recorded giving $0 of his $8 billion wealth to any charitable organization or any kind of philanthropic endeavor.
Total butthole. Yeah, he actually spent most of it on litigation proving that people stole his ideas, which generally they did, but none of those litigations were ever too fruitful, as far as I know.
But
no
damn
pun intended.
If, nice, fruitful. Very cool. Very fun.
All right, Jim, what do you got?
Ellen DeGeneres. More specifically, Ellen Dancing.
Ellen Dancing. Not all that familiar with it, but you got to give me your rating first.
I'm going to give it a solid B-.
Solid B-. Ellen Dancing. I have to give that a C-. Just from what I've seen, and because I don't think it has a whole lot of redeeming qualities. I think the whole, you know, awkward person dancing or old woman dancing or lesbian or whatever it is, I don't really
so would you
see
wait wait so those that, is that a grouping old
no,
people awkward people
no,
and lesbians
no those are three separate things, and what I'm saying is across the board I don't necessarily
so,
see the appeal of this sort of kitschy whatever they're trying to do with Ellen's dancing, i.e. Ellen's a lady and she's awkward and she's dancing, or Ellen's an older woman and she's dancing, or Ellen's a lesbian and she's dancing. No matter what the angle they're trying to take, which honestly I don't know what it is, I don't really, I don't, maybe I don't get it. I don't see the irony, and I don't see the appeal. C minus for me.
So who would you like to see dancing? Like, if, and I mean, like, I think there's the yeah. basic, like, instinctual sure. cliche of, like, hot girl dancing.
Yeah. No, yeah.
But, like, beyond hot girl, like, who would you like to see dance? Like, or who would you be like, who would you give an A to?
I honestly don't know if I'd give an A to anybody dancing, because, and this is what, this is a conversation I've had with people about Michael Jackson, too. People would tell me how great Michael Jackson he was, of great of a person and a performer and an entertainer Michael Jackson was, and it did not matter that he was a child molester or a lot of questionable things, but...
God, like, such a good dancer. So they always say he's such a good dancer. God, but Sam, don't you respect?
No, I don't care. I do not care about. I don't care that he danced. That's great. Happy that a good dancer. Don't really care.
So, yeah, I think I would give Ellen's dancing a B minus. I think it was fun and cool at first. It was like, you know, it was probably something like that, like she just did like spontaneously,
yeah.
And then it was like. It's one of those things, and she probably fucking hates it.
At this point, yeah.
At this point, she's like...
It's like American Pie for Don McLean, yeah.
It's exactly like American Pie for Don McLean, or Your Body is a Wonderland.
I have other good works.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm, you know, but then, like, the immediate thing, like, because I wrote down Ellen for some reason, that was, and...
It's a hot topic.
It is a hot topic, yeah. And the first thing that came to my mind was Ellen's dancing.
Okay.
And I think that's an important thing for people to understand about, so... you know, I mean, she's doing it, but it's kind of soulless at this
sure,
point.
Sure. Women's basketball.
I would give women's basketball a solid B plus.
Okay.
I think women have come a long way. Like, I'm all about Title IX, in Minnesota.
it's great.
And, Sam's obviously got, no opinion on this. But you know, I think, you know, go for it, ladies.
Yeah.
The Lynx, I will tell you this much. I work for both the Timberwolves and the Lynx, yeah. No bigs. But the Lynx crowd, though smaller, much more devoted to the sport.
Sure.
And much more personal folks. And, like, people there actually for the game. Mm-hmm. Another nice thing about women's basketball, they get paid regular person salaries. So they
That's why she commands $7,000 a year.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, right. Not that
so,
bad.
Like, you know, they're normal people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, men's basketball, like, if we're talking on the professional level, like, you know, they're kind of all untouchable for a number of years.
Yeah.
Just because they make so damn much money.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Those are actually some really good points, and that's why I would give women's basketball a B overall. I'm more intimate with it at the collegiate level, but all the things you said are absolutely true about the fan base. I don't know if they're necessarily more devoted at the collegiate level for women than they are for men, but just dealing with the players, and a lot of I would never say that the men's basketball players – in college are overall a entitled lot or anything like that, but it's definitely different dealing with women's athletes because of, like you said, the Title IX. They're legitimately happy to be there, and they're happy to have that opportunity. They don't think that the world or anyone owes them anything,
yeah.
And so as a result, they're just great to work with. And the sport and the product is not always top drawer, not always something that you want to go and spend a Friday night watching.
And why would you say that?
Because the difference in athleticism is shocking. And I know a lot of women's basketball players and women's athletes in general that will not only admit that, but freely offer that. I mean, the difference in athleticism and feel for the game has a lot to do with how enjoyable it is to watch. And I mean, it's really no contest between women and men. No, I don't know many people, women or men, that'll say, I would rather watch a women's basketball game than a men's basketball game. Because the reasons you watch generally favor the men. But I do think it has come a long way, like you said, especially in the WNBA. It's a watchable product at this point. When they became a league, it was... considerably different, but it's a watchable product at this point, so I'd give it a B.
Go Simone Augustus.
Go Simone Augustus. Just a class act.
On that line of thinking,
yeah,
I'd like to hear what you think about Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe Mutombo, A, love him. A. Totally support everything he does, both on and off the basketball court. I love listening to him because it's hilarious. He's got the deepest voice of anyone, but he just wants to talk. It's almost difficult for him to talk. His voice is so deep. Love the finger wave. Love the fact that the league came down on him for waving his finger after blocking shots because, as he put it, you're embarrassing us on national TV. You know, I just, he was one of a few throwback centers that don't really exist in the NBA, save for a handful of players anymore. From the Congo, I believe.
He is from the Congo.
From the Congo.
The Democratic Republic of.
The DRC, baby. Done some great humanitarian work there. See no faults in his game or his life. A.
Yeah, I was going to give him an A, too. I don't know that much about him, other than he was on a Saturday Night Live sketch in the early 90s.
Yes, he was.
And it was the Dikembe Mutombo Love Cruise. I liked that a lot. And he was at the top of my mind because he's on an Old Spice Nintendo-style video game at the time, right now, where it's Dikembe Mutombo's 4.5 weeks to save the world.
Oh.
And he voices the whole thing. And you get to play Dikembe Mutombo, and while it loads, you get the finger wave.
Oh, that is wonderful. That this is a classic. And that, this is important because not many athletes or basketball players specifically have those go-to taunts. I don't want to call it a taunt because it wasn't really a taunt. He was just doing his thing.
His deal.
There's nothing malicious in Dikembe Mutombo, but no. The finger wave. Cam Newton has the Superman. You have all these guys doing these flaming dances after they make it.
Are they actually on fire?
They're not on fire. You know what I mean.
Fun. Having some fun.
Having a little fun here. The finger wave was a throwback. It was a class act, and I salute him for it.
Fantastic.
We're looking now, quoting movies.
D-minus.
D-minus, really?
I love a good movie quote.
Yeah.
I quoted Christmas Vacation earlier today.
Sure. Tis the season.
Tis the season.
It would be called Holiday Vacation.
But
now.
I get so, Jesus. I think
Jesus. The reason for
Jesus.
The season.
Thank
yes.
You.
Yeah.
Christ. I think my disdain comes for it is like really started with the Napoleon Dynamite era of over quoting. And the fact that people are quoting from all the same movies. So, I would say, general public, D-. A well-placed quote and a well-placed, drop-back, throwback from a movie, I would give that a higher rating. But I think overall, I think movie quotes are just overdone. And it's a lot of go-to things for a lot of people. So.
Yeah. You make a compelling case. I'm going to give it a solid C. Because I love to do it. But you're right, it's a crutch a lot of the time. I mean, if we're not able to express ourselves in a normal way.
Tots.
Yeah. Well, Napoleon Dynamite, I mean, F-. If we're quoting that. But it really is something that has become too widespread, I agree, and is used too often. But like you said, a good, well-placed movie quote can connect people in a way that a normal conversation might not.
Absolutely. You know, to that point, I think this category could even be subdivided a little bit. Because I think,
sure,
generally, but I think that time when, you know, someone quotes heavyweights in a setting where it's a new work environment or something like that, and you throw
Bears
something out there.
Love honey.
Yeah. We already know each other's names, Laws.
Lars.
And that can be okay, we're on the same level.
That immediately bridges whatever gap that was questionable there. You know, whatever sort of unknown, like you said, in a new situation, be it work, be it social, be it religious.
It doesn't matter. And the nicest thing about that is that, you can all of a sudden, it's kind of like in a board game when you get, the skip ahead six spaces. You don't have to talk about a bunch of small talky bullshit. You can all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we can talk about this movie for a little while and then find our other related interests of what do you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Here's this whole list of shit we can skip now because
exactly.
We know we connected on the heavyweights.
Yeah, so as soon as you throw that heavyweights quote out, 2 seconds earlier you were talking about, the street they lived on.
Yeah.
And I heard about that. development over there. That's pretty interesting.
Now and we both know we don't give a damn about the development.
As soon as you hear that. So D minus, like, I immediately thought Napoleon Dynamite, but the well-placed movie quote, A plus.
A plus.
I would like to know what you would rate Bob Costas.
I don't see how I can give Bob Costas anything other than an A. He's the class of his profession. He is very, very, very good at his job. He embodies the American dream. And
how does he embody the American dream?
Well, really, a guy like Bob Costas is what we aspire to be. And by we, I don't mean like I'm aspiring to be a broadcaster or something like that. I mean, he's at the pinnacle of his profession.
And he's been there for
a long time. And he legitimately seems like he enjoys it, or he doesn't dislike it. You know, you look at some of these old curmudgeons that are on there and are just getting, you know, just hanging on by a thread. And I don't want to say it, but like Andy Rooney, obviously, same thing, pinnacle of his profession. Great broadcaster, but almost seems like it was a chore for him to do the job.
I thought he was dead.
He is dead.
Okay.
Yeah, he is dead. But almost seemed like it was a chore for him to do his job. And I know that was part of his appeal, but the thing about Costas is he seems generally, without going overboard, generally enlivened by being able to do, Thursday night football or Sunday night football or whatever it is, football he does, or the Olympics or anything like that. Doesn't screw up, and by doesn't screw up, I mean we don't see him screw up. I'm sure it happens from time to time, but he maintains that illusion that he's the best. And I give Bob Costas a solid A.
I would give Bob Costas also an A. I think, and if you give Bob Costas anything other than A, you're probably an idiot.
You're probably a dipshit, really, or a communist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Probably a communist dipshit.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of communists who probably would still give him an A.
Yeah, that's true.
I love Bob for a couple reasons. One, he hasn't aged a day since 1980.
My God, he has not.
I mean, from Do You Believe in Miracles, which was 81.
That was Al Michaels, but okay.
Same diff.
Sure. Yeah. All of those things I said about Bob Costas, I would repeat about Al Michaels. So you're absolutely right.
This is the dangerous territory. I don't know why I brought up sports twice, because I don't know anything about them.
Sure,
but that's what I love about Bob Costas. He makes me excited about sports.
Bridges the gap.
And, like, because he gets so excited. Mm-hmm. And you got stuff like the Olympics. Like, there is not a time in my life when I feel more proud to be a human being than Olympic time.
Sure.
And Bob Costas, for me, is the face of the Olympics. And he's that guiding voice, you know. And it's just, Bob almost brings a tear to my eye when I see him.
Certainly. And that is indeed Bob Costas. That is on the Olympics. So positive. That was the right guy you have there.
I would also give Al Michaels an A.
Al Michaels gets an A too. The Bob Costas and Al Michaels.
But Bob Costas has been around forever.
Sure. Sure.
Still hasn't aged. I'm going to hold that point.
No, that's absolutely true. Him and Mike Krzyzewski.
I don't know who that is.
That's all right.
That's a good last
venturing
name.
Into dangerous territory here. One of the most famous basketball coaches in
of
American
all time,
history.
Of course.
Anyway, of course. The East Coast. Oh, shit. At delicate times, because we're right after Hurricane Sandy here.
And I think that proves that Mother Nature would give the East Coast probably about a C. Not performing and, like, gotta slam them a little bit.
I don't want to sound down like a peg or two.
I don't want to sound like an evangelical, but Christ. I think it's Mother Nature saying, you guys gotta quit being so far up your own assholes. So here's what I like about the coast. I'm gonna first start with positives.
Yeah, it's by the ocean.
Nailed it. Yeah. I don't have much further to go on that. But, you know, so they have the ocean.
Okay.
So that's
nice.
They got
the ocean. Yep.
I'm very respectful of the Atlantic. Here's what I don't like about the East Coast. And, you know, East Coasters, you know, there's probably some people in South Carolina, North Carolina, like some of the Carolinas and some other places where it's like they get lumped into the whole thing. So, like,
I think Virginia, for example.
Like, and so it's a little unfair to them, but
because it's
like,
is it the South? Is it the East Coast? What I mean, what
the it's kind of like looking at a family where someone is such a boisterous asshole.
Yeah.
And that's the first person you meet, and they're always the person you see. And then so you kind of extrapolate and say, like, oh, all of his brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
and
the Jenkins are all kind of assholes.
Yeah.
Well, it was just the one guy. Well, he's real asshole.
Yeah, well, yeah, he sucks. Right. So, you know, I would give them a solid C. They have a lot of rats, too. A
lot of rats on the East Coast. Yeah. Agree with a lot of what you said. I'd give them a D+, just because my, you know, the whole being up your own ass situation, as they clearly are, probably more than the West Coast, which is not an easy thing to do. But
those guys
that,
suck
too. That I think cuts a little deeper. Jim and I were both raised in the Midwest, by the way.
That is
but, yeah,
true.
D for the East Coast.
Yeah, apparently we don't have any opinions on the coasts. I'd like to know what you think about I don't know how to talk.
Let's get there.
Free range. I'm going to give you free range to talk about this. Having a little fun.
Free range overall, I'm going to give a B because I'll make that a B-, because all the benefits of it are well documented. It's a great way to raise animals and definitely more humane and probably better overall than conventional methods, but overall not all that practical when you're talking about mass producing foods. Let's be real. We have a lot of people to feed. We keep popping out kids. Not everything can be free range.
Those kids keep popping.
As kids keep popping. So I'd put it at a solid B- for me.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's very fair. I would give it a B as well. My point would be, nice way to live, but,
yeah.
You know, free range, I think, like, when you see it on a package might mean something different. Like I think when you immediately think of free range, you're thinking, like, this chicken's got, like, 150 acres.
Just living the dream,
like,
sunrise
to cruising.
Sunset.
But the reality is the chickens that we eat for meat, like, they are what I would call kind of Walmart people.
Yeah.
Like they would be wearing sweatpants and
fat as fuck.
They do not like to move. I remember working with some of these chickens and because they're so top heavy, like we moved their housing and their food unit literally 15 yards and two of them moved and the rest did not. And we had to carry them down because and the two that did move, they took about 15 to 20 minutes to go. So, like, you can throw them out in a pen and, like, give them as much free range as you want. But those motherfuckers ain't moving.
Where were you dealing with chickens?
That was at Quail Springs.
Quail Springs.
Yeah.
Sustainability Farm? Is that what it was?
It was a very sustainable place.
Permaculture,
yep. Like as organic and granola-y and as West Coast as you get.
Sure.
Lovely place, lovely folks, and the chickens you raised for meat, like productivity, even like if you're a hippie permaculture type folk, still what makes sense to raise is what's called a Cornish cross, which is a Cornish game hen crossed with I can't remember the other name of the chicken, but they grow fast. And they're really top heavy.
Yeah.
So they have giant breasts.
Yeah.
And for the meat.
If you're mad that they're growing them, that you know why? It's because you're eating them.
Exactly.
So be mad at yourself.
Good one. So, in theory, it's nice. And I would say in practicality, it's probably not as good as you think Whole Foods makes you think it is.
Absolutely. That brings me to my last topic, which is barbecue.
A plus.
Can we add more pluses on that?
God. What makes you feel better than a barbecue?
Seriously.
Like barbecue is not only a verb, it's a noun, like it's an adjective.
Yeah. I was saying noun, but verb,
you
yes,
know,
adjective, I guess.
Yeah. Like a barbecued something like, or, you know, I guess like. you know, like a barbecue flavor.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That is the thing.
You know, I think it might be America's greatest contribution to the world.
Better than, like, say, the hamburger?
Hands down.
Yeah. Not even close?
Not even close, because barbecue encompasses so much more than a hamburger.
Sure.
Hamburger's great.
Sure. But it's not, I mean, that's
but, like,
sauce.
No one else in the world really does hamburger well.
No.
And, like, no one else in the world, I don't think, like...
Fucking do barbecue. I mean, were you going to go to London and get some barbecue? Hell no.
I'm saying I think...
I no,
think,
I'm with you. I'm like, agreeing. I'm getting fired up with our agreeance about this A-plus barbecue
shit. Oh, yeah,
shit.
Let's get fired up.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. For real.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, A-plus.
We're both A-plus on barbecue, and what's your favorite style of barbecue? Do you have one?
I like Sweet Baby Ray's in
Sweet
St.
Baby
Paul.
Ray's in St. Paul. St. Paul, Minnesota.
I'm sure that's about as authentic as you get.
Yeah.
My roommate... T is a big barbecue guy, big dry rub. He's a KC barbecue guy. He swears by KC barbecue.
It's the best in the world. Where's his favorite KC place? Do you know?
I have no idea. He once set me up with a list of KC barbecue joints, and it was pretty hefty.
I'm gonna need to see that list before you go. But he's probably right. KC, you can't go wrong. You really can't go wrong. You got Arthur Bryant, you got Gates, and then you got Oklahoma Joe's out in KCK there.
Okay, Joe's.
It's you know. It's in a gas station, and I remember my friend Emily taking me to Oklahoma Joe's the first time. And I said, with all these good barbecue places in Kansas City, you're taking me here to a gas station? She said, shut the hell up. It'll be fine. And, of course, I threw a fit. We waited in line for 45 minutes, and I got the best rack of ribs I've ever had in my life. So, can't go wrong in Kansas City. You can't go wrong with barbecue.
Patience is a virtue. You cannot go wrong with virtue. And I think that might be a good place to end. With total agreeance, which doesn't often happen.
No.
So this has been Consumers. We thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. This has been just an absolute delight, and we'd love to see you next time.